At Subway, start 2010 right with surprisingly low-fat choices. The Piled High Subway Club or Turkey Melt, fresh toasted under bubbly cheese. Both are part of a Subway Fresh Fit meal, a simple way to enjoy eating better. Subway, eat fresh. The BS Report is a free-flowing conversation that occasionally touches on mature subjects.
First of all,
this is the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
It might be cool, I don't know. And if it's not, I don't care.
The BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons works for ESPN. He's also named the sports guy, and he writes a comical sports column. He must be a popular dude.
The BS Report.
It's got a real dirty sound, like a rusty steak knife cutting through a well-aged steak.
Now.
Here's Bill Simmons.
All right, let's bring him in, my friend. Longtime friend. Friend of 20 years. One of our lead soccer guys. The voice of PBA Bowling. And now my partner on Sunday at the Dick Weber Open on ESPN2. Is it Weber or Weber? I should know that, right?
We'll get that straight by Sunday.
Yes. All right, hold on. I should mention you're on the Subway Fresh Take hotline. Our friend Rob Stone, what's happening?
Hey, buddy. How are you, man? I'm fired up for Sunday, by the way. Sunday, 1 o'clock Eastern, ESPN2, you make your bowling announcing debut. Not many people on God's green earth have the privilege to call live bowling, and you are one of the select few.
I'm so excited I can barely hold a thought in my head. I'm like red. We've been talking about doing this for like 2-3 years, and for somehow it just the schedule's never worked out, probably because they have bowling in some weird cities that are hard to get to.
Yeah, that, and it was constantly conflicting with your New England Patriots love fest.
Yeah, that's true. And now the Patriots, you know, now that our dynasty is over, I have time to announce bowling with you.
Exactly.
Now, the timing of this was pretty weird because we'd been talking about this for a while. This is the logical weekend. It's a 40-minute drive from my house. It all works out. I don't have to fly anywhere. And randomly, last week, one of the biggest moments in the history of bowling. Explain.
Yeah. Kelly Kulick becomes the first woman to win an event on the PBA Tour. And it wasn't just, you know, some random event. It was one of bowling's majors. You know how, you know, golf has got their majors, the Master. Well, bowling has four majors, and the second of the season is called the Tournament of Champions, held in Las Vegas, and it's all the great champions. You know, I mean, it's a loaded field. You have to win to get invited to this, and Kelly Kulick, for the first time, became the first female invited into that tournament by winning a women's tournament earlier in the season, and by winning that, it gave her an invite into this tournament. Nobody gave her a shot just because the tournament is so demanding with the talent, so many games, so much head-to-head stuff that, you know, everybody knew she was good, but just they didn't think she had enough in her to really fight this mammoth battle. And on TV day on Sunday, she just steamrolled everybody. And I tell you, you know, this is what I love about sports, Bill, is you know, you don't get this watching reality TV. You know, you don't get that warm, fuzzy feeling. And it was awesome. I mean, I was really genuinely excited for her and really for women's athletics as a whole. She's going to do great things, and she's been everywhere. Everybody's trying to get a piece of her. Rumor has it, Oprah's trying to potentially in discussions to get her on the show, too. You got to have the O factor, right? Can you imagine if you were on Oprah selling your MBA book, the numbers? Outrageous.
I'd like to disagree with you about not getting a fuzzy feeling from reality TV. How dare you?
I know. As soon as I said that, I'm like, oh, here comes a Jersey Shore comment.
Obviously, you don't watch Real World Road Rules Challenge, which has had plenty of fuzzy moments, my friend.
I can't. I have four kids. These rugrats don't allow it.
Yeah, Kelly, the female bowling champ, is such a big name that I was even afraid to try to get her for the BS Report. I didn't want to get turned down.
I can pull some strings for you, buddy. I guarantee you I can get her on the BS Report. Now, tell me about your preparations for your debut bowling telecast.
Well, hold on. We'll get to that in a second. Okay. Don't hijack my podcast. Do they have gambling on these Vegas bowling tournaments?
Like in the sports book?
Yeah. Like, could I have had 100-1 Kelly Kulick to win the tournament champions?
I did not look at the board. I don't think so. But, you know, they could. I mean, it's so easy. you know, you could make up so many different little betting lines. You know, how many strikes does somebody leave a 7-10? How many strikes do they open up with?
Yeah.
You know, over under on their scores. Yeah. No, I didn't see any when I was at Red Rocks.
Well, see,
have you ever been to Red Rocks, by the way? That's a nice, clean casino. It's away from downtown, but it's nice.
I haven't been there, and you know why?
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's not downtown.
Exactly.
I'm going to make this point on Sunday, and I'll probably immediately have my mic shut off, but I think bowling needs three things to really hit the mainstream. The first is obviously more gambling. I need to be able to gamble on this every week.
Okay. That's okay. You're legit so far.
Second, fighting. I don't think fighting is necessarily a bad thing. I'm not talking about people getting decked, but at least having to be separated. And then, and then third, PEDs. Obviously, an essential for every sport now to get people talking. Are they in the juice? Like, even with Kelly Kulik this week, maybe we could have said, oh, well, she's never bowled that well before. Is she on something? And that could have been this whole thing all week. Skip Bayless could have gotten all bent out of shape about it on first take, and it kind of snowballs. I think you need those three things.
Listen to what you just said. This frightens me. You think everything is better in life with gambling, fighting, and PEDs.
Yes, that's the recipe.
Makes the world a better place.
That's the recipe. And sex scandals. I left out sex scandals.
No, I agree with you on that one. Yeah, because
Tiger Woods and Greg Oden, like, you know, we've seen, you know, some sports move themselves forward a little bit. Well, look at the WNBA. The biggest moment in WNBA history was a brawl, right?
They had a moment?
Yeah, they did, yeah. They had one moment. Well, I think this is great. Like, you know, there's really not a lot of sports that I think women can actually go in and beat the best men.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, the same thing too. You know, I was trying to find a comparison, and I guess you could say billiards, and that's, you know, I don't know what I go on with that. But I mean, I don't think there's anything else that you could feasibly do it at. And this is an amazing accomplishment.
It would have to be a hand-eye coordination thing or some sort of contest where there's not running and jumping. Because, like, for instance, I think a woman could win the three-point contest.
I agree.
I'm not saying it will happen. I'm saying it's conceivable. And what's really weird is that they have never had the brainstorm of having a woman in the three-point contest over having these contrived events where they are actually their own event with WNBA and NBA players. They should just have one WNBA player in the three-point contest.
There you go. Or you could get the Baylor girl, that freshman down at Baylor, for the dunk contest.
Oh, yeah. Could do that, too. But bowling seems to be the one sport where, yeah, it's all hand-eye coordination. So why not? Why couldn't this keep happening? Why does this have to be a fluke?
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, that'd be a good question to ask 13-time titleist and bowling analyst Randy Peterson on Sunday's broadcast. Randy will give you his thoughts.
Does Bill Simmons' one-week partner get added to that resume down the road for him? I think
Absolutely.
It does.
Absolutely. I'm already scheming how I'm introducing you into the broadcast on Sunday.
So you have your call as Hambone. For four strikes, right?
Four strikes, right.
Has anyone named the five straight strikes?
Not really. We have some loose terms that we used in reference to the number five. But no, we're open. We're open for suggestions. And I'm excited about your the 7-10 split concept. That we'll save that for Sunday.
Yeah, I have an idea for a fifth strike, and I have an idea for the 7-10 that I think is really not just going to catch on, but capture America. That's my prediction for it.
I'm excited. We'll make signs for it before the broadcast.
I have a question. Are there any other famous splits, or is the 7-10 the only one?
No, that's the big one. Everybody cares. Yeah, 7-10 is your money split.
There's no other one that there's no secondary great split that is a famous not, one?
I mean, come on. The 7-10 just stands above everybody else. There's something called the Big Four. Where you got two pins on the right, two pins on the left that you got to clear out too. But
I like that, the Big Four.
Yeah, the Big Four is good, but the 7-10 is just so sexy. Everybody knows it. You know, it's in everybody's lexicon. They can just bark out 7-10.
What about is Dick Weber alive or dead?
He has passed away, unfortunately.
He is dead.
His son Pete Weber,
right,
is bowling and bowling well, and you may get a chance to meet Mr. Weber.
He is one of the more charismatic bowlers, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Great personality. Can play that villain role if it's needed, but has a ton of supporters, and he gets it. He's one of my favorites. I tell you what, I love everybody on the tour. I really don't have any problems with the PBA folks. I think there may be a few who could do without me at times.
Right.
But I think they also realize what I'm trying to do, and I don't mean in any way to try and mock or make fun of the sport. I really have enjoyed it and working with the people, and it's fun. You know how it is when you embed yourself in something, you begin to enjoy it more and more and more as you learn more about it and enjoy it. And bowling is actually a cool sport. I think you're going to walk away Sunday with a couple like wow moments, like geez, I did not realize this and that. And I think at least for that, it'll be worthwhile for you.
Well, let me ask you this.
Okay.
I'm gonna leave this choice up to you. I can go two ways with my third man in the booth routine. I can actually do homework and be prepared and, you know, really go all in, kind of like when we did the college hoops, which we had a lot of fun with. God forbid they ever asked us to do it again. Or I could go fish out of water and not do any work and just be the curious guy for an hour and a half.
I like curious guy because there's going to be a lot of curious things for you. I like curious guy. I think that with you know, I'm expecting some planned, clever, entertaining comments from you, of course.
Oh, I would never write material ahead of time. How dare you?
What? No.
Come on.
Who would do that?
All right, maybe a couple ones, but all right. So I'll go fish out of water then.
Yeah.
And I'm probably going to ask Randy a lot of questions about his personal life that will make him uncomfortable.
He's actually pretty forthcoming with most of the antics in his life.
Is Randy married?
Yeah. Two kids, wonderful kids, wonderful wife, Becky. The beauty about Randy, one of my favorite things to do with Randy is see how many times I can make him absolutely just lose it with laughter on the broadcast.
Oh, beautiful.
Where his head slams down and he throws his headset off and just loses it. I get an easy one, sometimes 2 to 3 a week from him.
Oh, well, then I'll have to try to double that.
Yeah. He's great. He's great with it. He's got a great sense of humor.
Now, you said this is going to actually be on real TV. It's on ESPN2.
Yeah.
During a time when there's no football.
Exactly. This is bowling's wheelhouse weekend.
I couldn't be more excited to be involved. I'm not even kidding. And where is it? It's in Fountain Valley?
Fountain Valley at the Fountain Bowl. So that's just, it's kind of between LAX and Orange County, right off the 405.
So kind of near like the where the casino is a little bit. In that kind of area?
Yeah, and there we go. And it all comes back to gambling. There's probably like a jiu-jitsu studio somewhere around there that we get the bowlers into.
Is it sold out? Could people go? Could people just go?
Yeah, you go. There's stadium seating there. Well, I wouldn't say stadium seating, but there's seating there.
How many people are we talking?
Buy tickets. You know, I don't know. I've never counted, but the LA crowd is always a really good crowd. In fact, the LA crowd is the crowd that, and some people in LA will hate this, that saved the ham bone. Because I was ready to ditch ham bone.
Oh.
I was ready to ditch it because some bowlers had complained to our producer, like, hey, okay, you know, tell the new guy enough with the ham bone thing. And I was like, all right, you know, that's cool. I'll be respectful. I'm not here to make fun or, you know, overshadow their talents and skills. And then right after that, literally within seconds of that conversation, a ton of fans in Fountain Valley walked in with all these ham bone signs and chanting ham bone. And I said, yeah, that's going to stick around a little bit longer.
Right. The only thing you fibbed about that story was that they said, tell the new guy with the highlights to scrap the ham bone.
Come on. Why do you got to be Howie Tuttle on me?
There's no way anyone else at the PBA Tour has frosted tips. I'm just saying.
Randy frosted. There's no doubt. I guarantee you my buddy Randy has done some frosting.
All right. So
you're the worst friend ever.
1 o'clock Eastern time. ESPN2. The Dick Weber Open. HD. I'm going to try to get drunk the night before so I look hungover in HD. It's going to be another one of my goals.
That'll be good. So you can be like me last night or this morning. I did a basketball game at Auburn University last night.
Yeah.
The ESPNU Campus Connection. We had 16 students working the game with us. Mm. And Jay Williams, the former Duke All-American, worked it. And the students kind of took us out a little bit and showed us around town. And I was.
We're old.
Rough
can't
morning.
Do it anymore.
Rough morning, Simbo. Oh, my gosh. Somebody gave me a shot of something that was like the worst combination of scotch and whiskey I've ever seen in my life, and I didn't ask questions. It looked like a urine sample, and I drank it, and that's what's still hitting me right now. Thank you, Auburn.
You don't have to worry about that on the bowling tour because it's probably
– There's no Yeah, nobody drinks at the bowling centers.
There's probably no drinking at all. It's not the kind of crowd that does such a thing.
Yeah, also no smoking or fried foods there.
We have 10 minutes, which means that we have 10 minutes that we can talk soccer because we haven't talked to you since the World Cup draw came out. And, I mean, pretty favorable for America, right?
I think so. You know, but the point has to be made that, this isn't like the women's NCAA basketball tournament where some games in round one and even to a point in round two are just useless. You know, I mean, there's teams that I don't understand why they aren't invited to that tournament because all they do is get slaughtered by UConn by 84 in the opening round. I mean,
first of all, how dare you? That's usually a Patriot League school.
We love our Patriot League, buddy. So every country that qualifies for this World Cup is a top country. You know, so nothing is going to be a cakewalk. But having said that, I think they got literally as good of a draw as they could have gotten, meaning the matchups of the team's strength. You knew you were going to get at least one good country, and you got England. And I think England and the U.S. is a good fit. Particularly, I like the fact that the U.S. opens up the World Cup with their strongest opponent. So they get that game out of the way, and then they can say, okay, here's what we need to do, rather than having games one and two and saying, oh gosh, we need this or that, and we've got to play, and we've got to do it versus England. So I like getting England out of the way, and I like the fact that Landon Donovan is playing in England right now and succeeding at an immensely high level. He got a goal the other day for Everton. He's been starting for them, talks that maybe this loan might be extended, and I think that will do nothing but help Landon at the World Cup in that game specifically as he learns more and more of the English style of what they do and how they play, so he can find his nooks and crannies in the English defense, so to speak. So I think it's shaping up well for the U.S. and it's
England U.S. first game round one, biggest soccer telecast, biggest rating we'll have ever gotten in America, you think?
Wow,
it's a Saturday.
I would say probably the, oh geez. Well, you got to remember when the World Cup was here in 94, there was all that great American passion about this wonderful event in our country. So people just kind of went to it as outside spectators.
This is different though. People know what's going on now. People actually have an idea who these guys are.
I agree. I think it will be the most widely viewed U.S. game in history.
Yes.
Particularly because, you're playing a country that so many people here in America are fans of.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, trust me, the folks at ESPN through the years are celebrating when England qualifies for the Euro Championships or the World Cup because they know that is a ratings bonanza for them. So, I think everything's coming together for a huge audience. Now, that one, I think, is live on ABC in every game in high def. This is going to be an awesome, awesome summer of soccer. And,
I'm a little torn though by that. England was kind of, I don't want to be a sports bigamist, but obviously we're not going to win the whole World Cup without Charlie Davies. And I mean, I know he's making noise about coming back, but I just don't see it. And then I don't, Gooch, whether he comes back or not, he's not going to be 100%.
See, I love you just dropping names and even the lingo. And Gooch, Gooch is coming. I'm impressed.
I legitimately like soccer now. I mean, what can I tell you? But I just don't think they have enough. And as soon as they're eliminated, I'm going to shift to England just because I like Rooney. Rooney's my favorite non-American.
That's fine. That's fine. I think that's great. I mean,
they're also going to have a couple Tottenham.
Follow the sport.
Well, they're also going to have a couple Tottenham guys too, I think. But
there you go.
But I do. I just wish that we weren't playing England in round one, because England has the most guys that we see in the Premier League all the time and on ESPN2 all the time. So I'm the most familiar with them. I wish we were playing some country that I didn't know anybody in the team.
Well, you'll get that.
Yeah, we'll get it eventually.
You'll get that a little bit later, my friend. I think it's wonderful, and this summer is just going to be an absolute blowout for the sport, and hopefully Major League Soccer can capitalize on it. They've just extended their contract negotiations with the players' union trying to put off a potential work stoppage. They've extended that, I think, by 12 days. Yeah. So this is a big year for soccer in the States. And, you know, in a couple months, we'll find out also if the U.S. is going to host an upcoming World Cup in 2018 or 2022. And they, you know, all signs are pointing that they're going to get one of them. I would be absolutely shocked if the U.S. doesn't. And going back to the U.S. this summer for the World Cup, you're talking about, hey, you know, we're not going to win the tournament. I think they realize that. Their goal is to get out of the first round.
Yeah.
You know, just live to play one bonus game, and at that point, who knows what can happen.
Well, I don't think Charlie should be trying to come back. The thing that pushes over the top for me with his injuries was that he had some facial fractures and things like that.
Right.
And, you know, they had to peel the skin off his face and fix his skull and really do some stuff. I just don't see how he comes back and plays at a world-class level and he's doing headers and he's throwing. The way he played, he was so fearless. I don't see how you could be fearless right away after that accident.
To me, the facial fractures are the least of the concerns. You know, I mean, that's stuff that doesn't slow you down. Maybe mentally it will slow you down, but physically you're fine. You know, I mean, Brian McBride, you know, when he was playing for the U.S. team, would go up and get crashed in the face all the time, plates in his face. He still, you know, is reckless and fearless for the Chicago Fire in MLS. So
right,
that part
good.
Doesn't worry me. It's all about you know, the stuff below the hips, so to speak, that I'm worried about. But it sounds positive. It would be an amazing story if he was to make it back. I don't know how he can. You know, I mean, you got to get the rust off. You can't get your rust off at the World Cup.
Right.
You know, and then you're talking about, well, do we save a roster spot for him that maybe we could use him for 15 minutes off the bench if he's not that rusty? You know, and that's a tough position to put head coach Bob Bradley in, you know, because you want guys who can go 90, who can produce for you. You know, is he going to get enough time to play? Same with Oguchi Onyewu. You know, I mean, he looks like he's coming back from that patella tendon injury, but if he goes to AC Milan with his club and he's not playing, you know, he's just doing reserve stuff, that's not helping anybody. You know, you got to play and you got to be at your prime for the World Cup. Hey, which reminds me, what finally got you hooked on soccer?
It was probably the 2006 World Cup, and I would have probably gotten hooked sooner, except just from a time commitment, I just didn't have the time to start watching this stuff. But definitely last summer, the national team, followed by the Premier League in August, like watching those games. I've fallen off and I'll be back after football season, but it's just more of a familiarity, you know.
Right.
I actually know who these guys are, and you know, I can look up I was in a bar in Utah last weekend and they had a game on and it was an amazing goal, and somebody I was with was like, look at that goal by that guy, and I was like, that guy, that's Rooney, how dare you. he's not that guy. You should know who Wayne Rooney is.
I love Wayne Rooney and his tattoos. What's the most recent one he had? Was it just, I think it's just Smart Enough or something like that? He had tattooed on his arm or back.
You know what's interesting is Gillette, for some reason, well, not for some reason, he's one of the best guys in the world, but they latched on to Henry as a spokesman. It is amazing to me that a major American company hasn't latched on to Rooney, because that's somebody you could really build a campaign around and turn into a character, I think.
Well, not only that, but Thierry Henry is, you know, the most vilified soccer player on the planet right now. I mean,
the fake hand penalty.
Yeah, and you know what? I don't blame him. You know, when you're in the heat of the moment and you're playing a game, you know, you're doing what you can to win. And I mean, yes, it was a penalty. An infraction. But I honestly, I don't blame him. You do what you can.
Well, what was he supposed to do? First of all,
that's
he did
point.
It in the heat of the moment. What's he supposed to do after?
Right.
Like,
he's
apologize?
Right, exactly. That doesn't happen. I mean, the only place that happens is when you're playing your buddy in tennis and you're like, out. Nope, that hit the line. Good shot. You know?
Right.
That's it. What do you want him to do? So I don't understand that. And I think what's going to be even more interesting is there's a lot of talk that Henry, after the World Cup, come to the States and play for the New York Red Bulls in Major League Soccer. But you know, when I was in New York for the World Cup draw, whenever France was mentioned, when their country was pulled out of the ball and, you know, placed in their group, it was just nothing but booze. They are going to be easily the most hated team in South Africa, assuming people show up in South Africa. The ticket sales have been a little disappointing. The Americans are doing their part to to get there, but a lot of concerns about obviously the safety and a lot of price hijacking going on in Africa, from what I've heard, as far as, you know, hotels and other things like that, which is really going to be a shame, because it's a wonderful opportunity, not just for that country but for that continent.
I like the fact that we're still finding reasons to hate France. I would have thought we would have had, the book would have been full at this point. The 530 were enough, but no, we got one more now.
They make it so easy, don't they?
They really
sometimes
do.
It's terrible. And that's with us not even being in the country. You know, once you get there and you're dealing with some of those people, sometimes you're like, I've had it with these people.
You know what's going to be underrated with the World Cup that not a lot of people have mentioned, or at least that I haven't heard, is that all the leagues are going to be finishing, and then the UEFA Cup too. UEFA? I always get that one wrong.
UEFA.
That stuff is April and May.
Yeah.
And then it feeds right into the cup. And, you know, I think for the ESPN started showing the English playoffs, I think 2 years ago. But this will be the year that I think, because we've had it on every Saturday and there's a lot more familiarity. Like, it'll actually, people might be interested in it. And then it feeds right into the cup. It's great.
Yeah. Here's my big thing. If you are a soccer outsider but want to enjoy the World Cup and you're looking for a way to do it, what I say is get, you know, 12, 14, 16, whatever, of your buddies together and put all the countries in a hat and a piece of paper, and you just pick your teams. And that is your team for the World Cup.
It's a good one.
And, you know, you pull not, I'm not condoning, I'm not saying gamble away, but maybe you put in a pool of poker chips, and the winner takes home, set them out. The runner-up takes this, and third takes this. So I think that's a great way to keep yourself involved and to learn about that country and its players.
How many teams are there?
32.
So conceivably, you could get
16 guys. Yeah, everybody gets two countries. You know,
I would do it this way. I would do seven friends, snake fashion. So if you get the first pick, you don't draft again until 16,
you
but then
yeah,
you also get 17. I'm the master of office pulls. I mean, I'm not really the commissioner.
Maybe the EJFL should fire that up for the summer. I like that, Billy.
I'm in. I think that's a good way to do it. And then I think the other way you can do it is what some people do for March Madness, where you basically just have an auction for each team. This is if you want to do high stakes. But, you know, if you want to buy France, we have an auction for it. Oh, France goes for $500. Hey, let's have – now our auction is for USA. USA goes for $75. And whatever just the final amount of money is in the pool, the winner gets it.
Nice.
So you might spend $5,000 on England, and the total pool is $15,000, but you have England. Not that you would want England at 3-1 odds, but you know what I mean.
That's a good way
to do it if you have a lot of rich friends who have nothing better to do than do that.
And imagine how much fun it would be if we could somehow get violence incorporated into it.
You know what I think we should do? I think maybe we should do it on the podcast. We should have the eight team snake draft thing. Can we do an 8-person conference call?
I think we could. We got JA on here right now. He could join.
Stoner, I gotta go. We have JA.
I'm getting pushed out for JA.
Yeah,
that's all right. That's fine. That's fair.
Bowling. Dick Weber Open.
One Eastern.
ESPN2. I'm gonna be there with
you
and Randy Peterson. Yeah,
you love it. Can't wait to see you, buddy. Thanks for the time.
Thanks for the offer.
Target to sign off.
Whoa. Thank you for downloading the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Too much fun.
Check out more podcasts at the iTunes Music Store or at PodCenter at ESPNRadio.com.
Peace out.
You laughed, you cried, you turned up the sound repeatedly, and now it's all over. This concludes another installment of the BS Report. And with all the talk about sports, Bill Simmons neglected to mention this important just-breaking news. Subway is home to the famous $5 footlong, so celebrate your favorite Subway famous $5 footlong, like the classic BLT or the Big Bowl Black Forest ham and cheese, all stacked your way with the meats, cheeses, and fresh crisp veggies you love.